Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
Push it.
Welcome to Country Life Projects. I'm Henry Reinders, and this is video one of 15 videos we have in our shed project. In this video, we're going to cover ground preparation before you actually start building your shed. Just want to point out, take your time with this, get the ground nice and level. In our video, we use gravel, makes it very easy. So that said, let's get started with our ground preparation. We're going to start off with selecting a location and ground preparation. It's a quick video, but it's very important. One of the main things is, if you can, is to find a high spot on your property. If that's not possible, and that's the situation we have here, we actually are located in the low part of the property. We're going to be putting down gravel, which we've already done, and so we're going to show you some key points that are important to consider. Now here, we have about 3 inches of gravel. And what's going to happen here is when it rains or, you know, we get any amount of water, it's going to go underneath the gravel here and eventually reach over here. And on the other side of this fence, the ground slopes away a little bit, so there will never be water pooling in here. The gravel also helps make it easy to level out the area you're going to put your shed so that the main ground, the soil underneath, doesn't have to be perfect. You can do that with the gravel. And the gravel that we used is 3/4 inch coarse gravel. And the reason we're using coarse is that once it gets on the ground and gets some pressure on it, it starts to bind together and it won't move. If you use round gravel, it will constantly move every time you step on it. So the next thing we're going to show you is how we went about leveling this. And it's pretty straightforward. You start from the center and you work your way out. Once you have your area laid out, and we're going to assume that there's no gravel here because we're past that point, so we can't show you that. But below this gravel here, we've used a heavy-duty landscape fabric. It's very important that you use a good quality landscape fabric. Coarse gravel will put a lot of pressure on it, and being coarse, it's you need something that can resist tearing and the gravel breaking through. Otherwise, you will have weeds and grass and different things growing up. So good heavy-duty landscape cloth and your gravel on top of it. But when you start your gravel, you need to have an idea within a couple inches of where your shed's going to be located. You know, maybe even half a foot or so. It's not too critical. So what we've done here, you know, you can imagine if this was soil and you had these blocks laid out. This is an 8x10 shed, and we've laid the blocks out where they're going. So then we can determine where the center is. When you start putting your gravel down, you want to put about 3 inches in the middle, or depending, you know, you might want to put 4 inches or whatever amount. You start in where the center of your shed is, and then we're going to fill the gravel out from there. And you're going to use a 2x6, a straight 2x6, it has to be straight, with a level on top of it, just to get the longest span so you can get an accurate layout and amount of gravel, and then you can rake it out once you get it close to being level. So I'm going to show you how to do that the easiest way in this next section. I'm just going to grab the 2x6 and the level, and I'll show you that. Okay, once you get some area covered with the amount of gravel that you want to do, you have to imagine that there's no gravel around the rest of this. What you're going to do is you're going to go diagonal, corner to corner to start with. Start filling your gravel in and just keep checking it with your level and your straight edge. This 2x6 is perfectly straight, so we know that with the level on there, we're getting an accurate reading. So you'll go this way and you'll go that way as you're spreading the gravel out. Once you get your gravel to the outside of your shed, then you can take the straight edge and you can go from corner to corner to finish up. You don't have to be perfect with your leveling at this point. If you're a half inch out or so, it's not a big deal. The whole idea behind using the gravel is that you can rake it a little bit, and then once your frame, your floor joists and your framing is done, you can actually jiggle the whole thing, move it back and forth if you have to do your final leveling before you put your plywood down. So that's pretty straightforward. Just take your time at this point. The better job you do at this point, the easier it is going to be as you go through the construction stages of your shed. Okay, I've showed you how to go about leveling the gravel. One thing we haven't mentioned yet is if you look at the edging around our base here, we do landscape ties just to finish it up, keep the gravel confined in this area, keep the dirt from the lawn separate. We will be increasing the height of the ground over here. Right now it's low, but we're not going to do anything with that until we're done, because obviously we're going to be working there. The grass will come up to here, our shed will be here, and we're going to put a little bit of a platform here. But if you plan to leave this as gravel, you know, you may want to put a nice edging in there like that. That'll keep things nicely kept together, and the gravel won't start going into your lawn, and your lawn won't grow into your gravel. So that pretty much covers everything to do with the prep for your shed. The next video, we're going to go over selecting your material, which is important. It's for the floor. So let's go to that video now.
For this shed, we're using a pretty basic foundation system. All it is cinder blocks on top of some crushed stone that goes into the dirt to 8 inches. We just dug the topsoil down until we hit some gravel, filled the holes up with crushed stone, and then put cinder blocks on top. But for a lot of other cases, you have to use a more substantial footing, either by code or just by common sense. If you live in a high wind area or a seismic zone and you want the shed to stay put, you have to do something a little bit more substantial than just plopping it on a bunch of cinder blocks. Okay, over here we have some different alternatives to the foundation systems. This one actually isn't that much more substantial, it's just a little bit easier. It's a heavier foundation, a heavier block than what I have there. You don't want to set it on top of the grass or the subsoil, you want to put on something more substantial like we did, like gravel or crushed stone. Once it's set, there's a hole formed into it that accepts a 4x4 post pretty tightly. And obviously this is a little bit easier to do as far as leveling, because you don't have to set these at all the same level like we did with the cinder block. These can go at a little bit different levels, and then you can cut the 4x4 to the exact level so your shed stays level. And then you have some sort of connector to connect the post to the floor system. Another alternative is called the ready footing. And this is plastic and consists of a base, a top, and in between is just a simple scheduled 44-inch pipe. You dig the footing down as far as you want it. Say you want to go below the frost line, and around here it's about 42 inches. I would dig down 42 inches, set the base down in the hole. You cut the schedule 40 pipe, place this on top, push it tight together. You don't have to glue it, and it's all set. Backfill it, make sure it stays plumb, and there's your footing. The floor frame fits right inside the flanges here. And then there are a couple of bolts that bolt it and secure the frame to the ready footing. The nice thing about the ready footing is that you don't have to wait for the cement to cure. The minute you dig the hole, drop the footing in, you can build right on top of it right away. There's no curing time, no mixing time, none of that. So it's a good alternative to use for a solid footing when you don't want to wait for the concrete. This is what most people are familiar with, the builder's tube. Basically, they're formed for concrete footings. Again, just like the ready footing, you can dig down as far as you want, whether it's a foot or 3 or 4 feet to get below the frost table if you have one. Drop this down inside, make sure it's in the right position. Have it sticking up maybe 2 or 3 inches above the finished grade. Backfill it, and then fill it with concrete. If finished grade came to here, we fill it with concrete right to the top. Before the concrete cures, drop in an anchor bolt so it's sticking up about an inch or two. Once that's cured, we have the concrete foundation here with the anchor bolt sticking up about an inch or two. Now, to fasten the floor system to the footing, there are a lot of different types of systems to connect a floor system down to a footing like this. This is just one where it'll drop right onto the anchor bolt, and then you put a washer and nut down and tighten it nice and tight. Once the fastener is placed on the anchor bolt and fastened, and we can put a 4x4 post in there, secure that, build our floor frame on top of that. And again, there are all sorts of different fastening systems to attach post to beam, beam to floor connections. The whole idea is you want to have a system that connects your floor system to the post, the footing. Again, the concrete footing is the most substantial for any structure. So we've got the block on the rock footing. We got a more substantial large concrete footing that accepts a 4x4 post. We have a ready footing. And then we have the full concrete piece.
Hey everyone, Mike Stokes, Lush Planet Design Build, and today what we're going to do is we're going to assemble Best Barn's 12 by 16 their Denver model. So here's what the brochure looks like. And we're just going to follow their instructions and put it all together and show you how what I think, how it works, and how it doesn't work. First thing I want to tell you about this thing that we bought this is out of Home Depot. It's the standard model you can get online, and we got it without any roofing material and without a floor. So we're building our own floor. So if you come over here, basically what it calls for in the plans are 4x4 pressure treated skids. We're using 4x6s mainly because they didn't have any 16-foot 4x4s, and I also think, you know, it's just going to add that much more structural integrity to the barn. We're just going to go ahead and build the frame and level it out, and then I haven't even decided whether we're going to go right on the ground or whether we're going to put little pier blocks underneath it. It's a little easier to just build the floor and then set it up. I'm not too worried about level. We'll level it off after we build the floor. And then let me just show you how it comes. It was delivered in these two crates right here. So I just got them under tarps because it's raining. So you get one crate like this. Comes packaged up like that. Missing a spider right there. And then another big crate like this. That's it. The Denver model. So, without further ado, we'll keep building. We'll just stop and show you little pieces as we go. So, here we go. So, just want to show you phase one. Basically, we're going for the quick and dirty install. So, we just set the 4x6s on the ground, laid out, cut it to, it's exactly 12 by 16. So we cut all these guys to 3 inches minus 12 foot wide, and then laid it out and put our 16 on center studs in, floor joists, and then nailed it down to the 4x6s, and we just got sort of temporary shims up. Now we're going to level it out. So there you go, quick and dirty, floor of a shed. So I'm going to show you this little technique that we're using to level and lift the beams to the floor joists. So here we got our not level, but plumb. So we're a little bit out of plumb. So we put the clamp on it, push it down. So come over to this angle so you can see the plumb level. So get right in on the plumb level there. The plumb. Okay, so we push it down, levels it out, and then I usually have Corey here holding it, and then I'm just going to nail this down. You lift her up a little bit, yeah. There you go. And then we did that all the way around to level out these runners. Okay, that's it. Okay, so at this stage, what we've done is we used the laser level. So right there, you can see the laser level. And we leveled up, we nailed everything together. And then we leveled it up with 2x6 blocks and other little blocks, and then backfilled it with the gravel so that everything was secured underneath the level. So you can just see right here, that's 2 inches off of the board, and this right here is 2 inches off of the board. So a super easy and fast way to put in a shed foundation. You just build the frame and then jack it up. We just use pry bars and little pieces of wood, and then backfill it with gravel. It's not going to be perfect, but you know, you can always do it again. You can stick a floor jack under there or a pry bar and jack it up, put a little more gravel in, stick another 2x6 pressure treated wherever you need, and then there you go. So quick and dirty foundation for a shed. And then now we're just going to nail off the sheathing. We're using these right here. Ring shanks. So ring shanks have these little ridges on them. So they're not quite as good as screws, but they'll work really good to hold this flooring in for a quick and dirty shed setup. I think that's it until our next stage.
All right, today's podcast has been titled, or is titled, because we're doing a short one today, 20 Hours to a New House. 20 Hours to a New House. Last stream number 619-768-2945. What we're going to do first, and this is a series. This is going to be an actual, well, podcast series, but then we're going to have to do a vlog to it because it needs to be a visual so you can actually see us doing it instead of hearing somebody else doing it. And we'll have a offline workshops or boot camps where within 20 clock hours, we take a person that knows nothing about carpentry, and then we go through the step-by-step process of learning how to make or build a little tiny off-grid house. And we're going to go through some distinctions here. Making versus, let's see, they're makers and then they're carpenters. Carpenters can do structures like this and other things when it comes to wood, and they're all different type of carpenters. So although you might pick up a tiny bit of carpenter skills, the mindset that's going to be, that we're trying to convey here, is essentially you learning the steps on what it, the steps required to make a tiny house within 20 clock hours. You won't be a carpenter and it, you know, within 20 clock hours. However, if you choose to go on and become one, that's on you. But our main goal is to put you in a maker mindset. Now, that's the ultimate goal, because in the 20 clock hours, to build up to that, and 20 clock hours is a considerable amount of time, if you use it wisely. We'll have woodworking projects, two woodworking projects to, as part, hands-on, like building a birdhouse. You know, that way you get familiar with the basic tools that you need, basic safety procedures, as well as you put together, because in my opinion, tackling a tiny house as a very first project can be daunting, particularly if you have no experience. So if you get a little arts and crafts project like building a birdhouse, then you get a sense of working with wood, tools that are involved, basic safety. And then we'll stair-step it up to building a doghouse. All right, this is all within the 20 clock hours. And then, you know, things like we played some audio this morning. That's why we had to do a visual of this much sooner than rather than later. But I played the audio today because I want people to get familiar with terminology. You know, level, plumb, square, what does that mean? How do they relate to each other when it comes to, the, you know, building something? Foundations. What kind of foundation are we going to be dealing with? Why, for instance, we're going to be building ultimately a tiny house on skids. Some people do it on wheels, but we're going to do it on skids. The primary reason is we don't want to do anything that will be what that will end up being classified legally as real estate. We want to build a mobile property, because as soon as you build something, and you're free to do what you want to do, and you put a concrete slab and a permanent foundation, and then you build a structure, a structure on top of that, then you're going to get taxed, because then it's classified as real estate. And now you have become the government, by your invitation, has become your partner. So they're going to tax it. They're going to assess it and tax it, and it will be a cold day in hell when your tax assessment goes down lower. It'll keep on going up. And if you get things attached to it, like you want city or county water, and if you don't pay that water bill, or if you rent it out and your tenant doesn't pay the water bill, guess what? Your de facto partner, the local government, can put a lien against that. Nobody pays it. They can snatch the house. Also, if you put, you know, build it and it's classified as real estate, then some lender, if you borrow money against it, and there's a lender for every type of thing out here that's attached to the land, then your new de facto partner, in addition to the local government, is the lending institution. So what we're talking about with building on skids, because that way you actually own it. It's My House applies to something that you own outright that is not assessed by the government every year for taxes, that cannot be snatched because you don't need any city water. You're building a structure that harnesses water and cleans up water. We'll go through all that part of it because we're talking about a net zero energy dwelling. Dwelling, because house is sort of a regulated. Actually, house is a regulated word. People don't think it is, but it really is. So, in this audio, I said audio we play, they go for those who don't have any construction experience. Go back, listen carefully for words you don't know. Level, plumb, square. Some of you know it, some of you don't. What is level, plumb, square? What do those words mean in relationship to building? Foundation. You heard, you know, great. So let's listen to that so you can play that over. And we'll, like I say, soon we're going to have to take this, do videos of these, because that really, that's the only way, in my opinion, to really get audio is not enough. You need a visual to go with the audio. Now, before closing out today, if anybody's got any comments on what happened over the weekend, Kavanaugh got confirmed as our latest Supreme Court justice. And going to my Facebook page, I put a news article on there. Oh, here it is. Christine Blasey Ford, let me read the headline here, can't return home due to unending threats, and mind you, death threats, the lawyer says. I'll read a little bit of this. Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who publicly accused now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, let me say this. Georgetown Prep, right outside D.C., Washington, D.C., that has got to be one of the hottest. I mean, it's already prestigious, but I'm pretty sure now Georgetown Prep is a private boarding school right outside of Washington, D.C., like right outside, literally right outside the Beltway in D.C. And they already had a Supreme Court justice on the bench prior to Kavanaugh. Now they've got two. So I can imagine. They just don't let anybody in that school anyway, but now that they've got two, I know they're going to really wave that banner. Anyway, that's enough on Georgetown Prep. All right, so Christine Baslee Ford, the woman who publicly accused now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct. Now we've got two Supreme Court justices that were accused of sexual misconduct. Was it real or was it Memorex? I don't know. But in any event, according to a lawyer, let's see, this has been very terrifying. Her family has been through a lot. Ford's lawyer, Deborah Katz, told MSNBC, Cassie Hunt, they are not living at home. It's going to be quite some time before they can, before they're able to live at home. The threats have been unending. It's deplorable. Well, hey, thank the Democrats who leaked it. Dr. Christine Baslee Ford's attorneys tell Cassie that Ford is still not living at home. Okay, let's see. What else is new? Okay. Well, what's your thoughts on that, folks, if you have any? Now, according to Ford, she wasn't the one that leaked it. She went to Diane, sent the notes? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, to Diane Feinstein's office. Feinstein said she didn't leak it, so nobody knows who leaked it. But anyway, it got out. Obviously, it did not derail the confirmation process before the November elections, which are next month. He's in. He is in. And he can go home at night. Him and his wife and two daughters. But apparently, Mrs. Ford and her, because she's got a husband and two sons. So what do you guys think about that? And because according to the FBI report, and some people say it really wasn't a good in-depth investigation, I don't know. But according to the FBI, who the Democrats wanted to get into the picture, you know, nothing was there to corroborate her side of the story. Now, me too didn't make it this time. Let's see. Let's go to the phone lines here. 973, your mic is open.
How you doing? We're a huge fan of your show.
Hey, brother. Okay.
My name's Hank, I'm with my brother Gus, and
hey now,
we're building a shed in our mother's backyard.
We've been doing it for about 2 months. We're just about to put on the side and wonder if you had any advice on the nails we should use, sir.
I'm not the one to ask on that, but we will have a carpenter on later this week that can help you out on that.
All right, well, our mother really needs a shed to put in all of her lawn mowing equipment.
She's a bit of a hoarder, to be honest with you. And, you know, we get pretty bad winters out here, so we're looking for something that'll really stand all four seasons. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, where's out here? Where are you located?
Oh, we're in Minnesota.
Well, it does get cold there. Are you in the lower part of the state, central or northern?
North.
Northern. Well, now give us some details on the shed. You mentioned that, you know, you want to put store stuff in there, but I mean, what kind of design do you have? I mean, how many square feet, that type thing?
It's about a 300 square foot shed. It's about 10 feet high.
And we're at the stage now where we're just about putting on the side and we're getting conflicting information on what kind of nails we should use. I just went out and bought a new nail gun, and, you know, we're just about to put the nails in. We wonder if you have any advice before we start plunging them through this sucker.
Okay, wait a minute. You know what? One person might know. Hold on for a minute. Pianchi, good morning. If you're listening, would you happen to have any suggestions for these gentlemen?
make sure they hot dip galvanize.
All right, that's good. We do have the galvanized now, so
we'll do one right now. One second.
Hang on.
You gonna do it?
Yeah.
Should I put it in now?
I don't know, fellas. You the one there at the location.
Hold it steady.
All right.
You doing it now?
I've got it right now. Okay.
Hold it steady.
Oh, I'm holding it steady.
Oh, fuck! My arm, my fucking hand!
Jesus Christ!
I knew something was coming. I just didn't know when, but I knew something was coming.
Yeah, any fool know what type of nails to use. But I'm happy that Kavanaugh was confirmed and installed.
Okay.
Because these type of allegations, and you know the funny thing that gets me is as long as black males have experienced the repercussions of those type of allegations. I mean, I just was putting up some information on the Groveland Four. You remember them down in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they was put in jail because this white woman said that they raped her. And, you know, you got Scottsboro 9. It just goes on. Ezekiel Elliott, running back for the Dallas Cowboys today. So I'm not saying that attention shouldn't be given to legitimate cases. But you have so many lies that have the decades. And then when you look at these websites, a couple of them, I had made mention links to them, of these teachers that's out there sexually abusing their students. And it is page after page after page on them. They get off, they get plea deals, they get sentences and spend only a couple of months, then they let go to other school districts. It is just totally lopsided. And nobody makes mention of them. So,
right, you're right.
This crazy mess of a person being guilty until they're proven innocent, like we've seen here, is just totally beyond reason. And as far as this lady coming down and being subjected to all these threats, well, I mean, she should have thought it over. And I think her husband said that she was sort of a mental problem, mental case. So I'm glad that Kavanaugh is where he is, and I hope he serves to be a good constitutional jurist. I hope Trump has put some more on the court, because some of the decisions, a decision is a decision. And you can't tell how this man is going to, nobody knows how this man is going to rule on particular cases. Look at Hugo Black. Hugo Black, when he was confirmed after being nominated by Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1937, Black was a U.S. Senator, of course, and he was confirmed in 1937. After he was sitting on the bench, it came out a scandal that he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan back in the 20s. He stayed there for a short period of time. But you look at the cases that he ruled on, like Brown versus Board, he was part of the unanimous decision of a 9-0 vote. And he went on to also, he made public statements that he was against segregation and other ills that pose a challenge in society. So congratulations to him, and hope more is to follow.
Okay, well, it's, what's quietly on the Supreme Court is 9 of them. And let's see, 6 came up in the Catholic Church, 5 are practicing Catholics, and 3 are Jewish. Now, what's interesting is, you briefly mentioned it, it's, you know, To my knowledge, I don't think there have been any criminal indictments in the United States against any alleged pedophile cases of the Catholic Church. They got plenty of cases on the civil end, you know, where they've had to pay out. But on the criminal end, I haven't heard of any. And like I say, it's interesting that they have 6 out of the 9 justices that came up Catholic, 4, 5 are practicing, 1 attends a Pentecostal, Episcopal church. Very interesting. 352, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. This is Fiata, Soul Purpose Healing. I pretty much agree with Pianke that I'm glad this show is over, this book, this movie is over the Supreme Court of the United States, because now we can get on maybe with the whole business of having a Supreme Court and watching what they do. But some of these women, I think, who coming out with this hashtag Me Too weapon have mental issues. I just saw something about Stormy Daniels, the prostitute who wrote a book about the president and described his genital. Now she's regretting that she was so open, so vivid and description detailed about the president's genitals and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, she's got a mental problem, because this stuff is going to bite these women in their butt, that they keep blaming men for something that happened to them, and they don't know how to take responsibility and just own up and become more conscious. So I look at this whole hashtag Me Too movement as now being used and weaponized, and that's going to have repercussions and consequences for the women,
you
mostly.
There?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You still there?
Yeah, I can hear her.
Oh, wait, it must be me. I can't hear. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay, so that's my, I think, I kind of side with the men on this one, because I know that a lot of men who did abuse women had childhood issues with their mother, father, and so we got to stop blaming. We just got to own up on how, what role we played, what our responsibility is, get healed and move on, because we got work to do healing the planet and stopping all this war within us first. That's the problem, is that people have this war within themselves, and then they want to blame other people, other, especially the men. So I just see it's time for us to own our consequences of our behavior and move on. So that, in that case, let Kavanaugh serve his term, whatever. They're already talking about Booker, this black man, wants to, he's already talking about impeaching Kavanaugh. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Here we go, wasting the taxpayers' money again, thinking about wasting our money because of they believe he lied or whatever. It's like these grandstanders like Booker need to sit their ass down and do what the people want them to do, like legalizing cannabis. You know, we talked about that on my show yesterday. And stop all this circus from the Democrats and the Republicans. It's like enough of this, but we need to just take a breath, deep breath, because another show is sure to come. And just, you know, like I say, pass the popcorn. Don't get too anxious, because we're going to have another show as long as we got people like Booker and a lot of those crazy Democrats in office right now.
Okay.
Are you there, L.A.?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Okay, I'm done.
Listening.
That's my comment. I
got to
go.
Okay.
You know, another thing, too, and I'm gonna, this is my
go
last
ahead.
Comment. You can have 9, you can have 101 justices on the Supreme Court. There's no limit to the number set by the Constitution.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Well, let's see. Now, we got some other callers here. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go on troll alert this morning. I had, let's see, hold on. I don't want to. All right, anyway, today's podcast is titled 20 Hours to a New House. This is going to be a series. We're going to have to add a video to this because the audio is very limiting. But anyway, we're doing this in current. We're going to do a quick nine friends audio. Well, hold on. You know what? I don't want to do. We don't play that a gazillion times. Let's see. We did framing already this morning. Okay. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with another caller. Welcome back to another installment of It's My House, and today's podcast is titled 20 Hours to a New House. Now, we're having some technical difficulties tapping into our calls. We can get them in the green room, but we try to punch them in, see the so everybody can hear. We're having technical difficulties. So what we're going to do, and I can't control that, that's a blog talk thing. We're going to continue this tomorrow along with trending topics. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.